Well, I'd have bet against it, but they're back. Mark and Mike. It doesn't take a genius.
Ramsey!
Marshall, if I lower my head, people can see our subject.
That's right. So, yeah, so if you change the height of your head, you can see that change is our topic.
That's
good. If I move my head, you can see that there's going to be math. Nobody told me there were going to be math. So for those of you on iTunes, the math equation is change equals the product of, and I know it's the product because I helped my daughter with her math homework, of D times V times F is greater than R. Well, that clears it up. I don't think we need to say any more, Mark.
It's been a great session. See you soon.
Don't forget to hit the subscribe button below. All right, maybe it needs a little more explanation. So change occurs when you multiply dissatisfaction times vision times first steps, and that multiplies out so it's greater than resistance. So take you through it. So dissatisfaction, we always think of dissatisfaction as negative. Dissatisfaction has two parts. It can be either pain or attraction. You're either wanting to get away from something or you're going to want to move towards something, or maybe it's a little bit of both. We hear about this, you know, people talk about alcoholics, right? You can't help them till they want to change. If I like blacking out and if I like waking up and don't know where I'm at and I enjoy hangovers and you come to me and say, you need to stop drinking. And I go, no, I have no dissatisfaction. The odds of getting me to do anything, very low. And so, or it could be the attraction. What are you moving towards, right? I want to move towards a better state of being. And that kind of leads us to the next piece, which is vision. You have to have a vision. People need a something to aspire to. And vision is just what it says. I need to be able to see what the final outcome will look like, be it a customer experience or well-being in my life or financial, whatever the vision is, I need to be able to see that. And then we multiply that times first steps. And so the goal here is always to make the first step so small that you can't not do it.
Right.
So this goes back to the study that I was hearing about, where doctors would ask you, you know, and they'd ask somebody and they go, how much should you exercise every week to be healthy? And people would have various answers. 20 minutes a day, three times a week, 20 minutes a day, and all these stuff. And so the doctor would say, great, go home and do that. And he said, you know, no one came back and said, you know, I've turned my life around and I'm now exercising 20 minutes a day. And so he took the approach of, all right, I'm going to ask you to do something that's so small you can't do it. So his prescription to his patients was, I need you, while you're watching television, if a commercial comes on, I need you to stand up for that 30-second commercial and just walk in place in front of your lazy boy.
Yep.
Can you do that?
Yep.
Of course I can do that, you know. And so people would, you know, they'd have the challenge. Commercial would come on, they'd stand in front of their chair and move. And then after a while they figured out, well, I could move for all the commercials. Well, I could move for, you know, a little while into the show when it starts back up. And then they noticed over in the corner was a treadmill. It was hard to tell it was a treadmill because it now looked like a clothing rack.
Of course.
And so they pulled the clothes off, started walking. So given too big a first step, no action takes place. But if you give a little first step, it's more likely to for something to happen. All right, so, and we know from our math work in elementary school that if you take anything times zero, the outcome is zero.
Yeah.
And so if we have no dissatisfaction, we got a vision and we got first steps, but we have no dissatisfaction, there will be no change.
Yeah, who cares?
We've got dissatisfaction and we've got an idea where we want to go, but we're not sure where exactly that place is. No change will take place. I may have tremendous dissatisfaction and a huge vision and I don't know how to start. No change will take place.
Yep.
And so the other part of this equation is all of this D times V times F must be greater than resistance. And notice it does not imply that resistance may or may not be there. It's a given. It's part of the formula. There will be resistance. An object in motion tends to stay in motion. An object at rest tends to stay at rest. There will be resistance. And so all we have to do, if you want to create change, is keep tinkering with the formula of dissatisfaction, vision, and first steps until it all multiplies out so it's greater than whatever that resistance may be.
Yeah.
And so if nothing's changing, your multiplication isn't adding up to a number that's greater than resistance. And it's very simple to look at organizations and work with them, and you come back and nothing's changed, you realize I've got to do more work. I've got to make the first step a little smaller. I've got to make the vision a little clearer, or I've got to ramp up the dissatisfaction, either pain or attraction. And by working on those variables, if I can get it to multiply out at a high enough rate, then they will start to do something different. Otherwise, nothing's going to change.
Yeah, so true. And this is just everything, right? These are at an organizational level. These are at a personal level. When you were talking about it, it reminded me, you know, you were saying you're trying to get away from something and going towards something else. I remember going through a bad breakup one time. And a friend said, this was a married friend. He said, yeah, I went through a bad breakup too. And I'm just going to give you some advice. Every time that you're feeling rough about this, just remember you left that for a reason, and think about those reasons that you left that relationship. And that was half of the battle. The other half was like, oh, wait a minute, that's not what I want. But I do want to find the right girl, and I'm going to have to get over this girl to find the right girl. And it turned out the next step was really just to spend a lot of time not thinking about that and thinking about other people and serving other people. That was something that came to me. So there's an example. All of that eventually was greater than my resistance, than my heartbreak. And I'm happily married with four kids. Hooray, it worked. So, you know, the change formula played out on a personal level. Yeah. So,
well, I'm sure you meant to say that the vision you had after this breakup was the woman that you're currently married to.
Of course. And she is, Mike, a vision.
Oh,
I mean, let's face it.
Oh, so. Yes. I know that's what you meant to say. So,
okay. Can I make an observation though? That has to be uncovered, right? Like it's one thing to have the change formula, but you have to spend some time kind of journaling or working with your coach or working with your team in dialogue to uncover what are those things that qualify for those three variables that have to have a product that's greater than the resistance to change. Mm-hmm. And then you have to spend some time saying, all right, how do I keep these things in front of me so that I never fall off my game and go back to old habits?
Oh, yeah, so well said. The dissatisfaction piece, you know, it seems like a very easy piece.
Right.
What are you unhappy about? What are you not satisfied? Where's the gap between your expectations and the current reality?
Yeah.
And for many people, they haven't thought that through. They know it's not working, but they're not sure what it specifically about it makes them unhappy. What is it specifically that they're attracted to?
That happened just this week with a client, thinking about having a hard conversation. The question was, what happens if you don't have this hard conversation? Mm-hmm. Oh, it'd be bad. It'd be really bad, because here are the consequences if this continues, this behavior that I'm dealing with this other person continues. Okay, there's the dissatisfaction. Now we work on the other things.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think one of the keys that I've learned in this is the dissatisfaction has to be with the person that you're wanting them to do something different. So if it's a personal goal, you have to have dissatisfaction. If you're trying to get somebody else to do something different, they have to. It's not enough for you to be unhappy. They have to be unhappy.
You know, Mike, when I first met you, and this is probably 15 years ago, it took about a year before I heard you say this out loud. But one of your hallmarks was three simple words: bring the pain.
Yep.
And I think that's what we're talking about here. We have to really point out that, hey, if you stay in this and don't change, it's going to hurt.
Oh, yeah. Well, and you see this, the simplest change. All right. So I need my salesperson to do a better job with his paperwork.
Right.
And so so the manager's very dissatisfied with the salesman's and his paperwork. And then you will say to the manager, all right, so what is the dissatisfaction the salesperson has? Well, if he doesn't do his paperwork, then I take it and I have to spend all night fixing it. Right. All right, so the salesman is sleeping soundly while you're tearing your hair out fixing his mistake.
This is a great deal.
Yeah, I think the salesman is not going to change. He's got it all figured out. So we have to transfer the dissatisfaction that you have to the person that you'd like to change. And so we need to have the salesman fix his mistake. Well, it would take too long. Exactly. He needs to feel the pain. Or if nothing else, he has to sit beside you while you fix his mistake and feel that agony. Right there, you got to bring the pain to the person that you want to see change, right? Or like we talked about, the attraction.
Yeah.
Right? We have to show them what the better future could be like if they would make this change.
Yeah. One of those questions that uncovers the vision for the future is, you know, imagine that best case scenario. What would you see? And what else would you see? And what else would you see? And then to ask, what would be the best part of that for you? Mm-hmm. And let them put that little cherry on top of this beautiful sundae they've just created and say, here it is. And now again, you know, you got to get that in front of you. Is it a vision board? Is it a picture of that vacation destination you're hoping to have? I don't know what the reward or the outcome of the change that's so beautiful would be, but you can literally physically put that in front of you. There's other ways to do it, but that's one.
Well, and wonderful vision I had from a client this past week. And so their goal is to retain the customers in the nearby area within a 30-mile radius of them. They want anybody who lives that close needs to buy from them. And so one of the sales managers took a cue from Warren Buffett. He says, we want to build a moat around the store. Hmm. And the moat protects everything within its boundaries. And I said, that's an incredible vision. I said, what are we going to construct the moat out of? And he says, we're going to construct it out of advocacy and loyalty.
Sure.
So if we build the moat out of loyal customers and customer advocates, then we're protected as a business. And he saw that as the vision, right? That our customer loyalty, our customer advocacy is so strong that it protects us from pandemics and recessions and competitors and all that type of stuff.
No doubt. No doubt. Okay, so what about next steps? Because, I'm thinking about things we talked about in our three-part change series on time management, which you should definitely go back and listen to, dear listener.
Yes, after you subscribe.
After you subscribe and give us feedback on a five-star iTunes review, absolutely. But we talked about putting outcomes on your calendar. You know, it's not enough to say, I'm going to exercise. You need to say, I will walk 2 laps. It's not enough to say, I'm going to read. You make it, I'm going to have an outline of this chapter at this, particular point on my calendar. Something that makes it a tangible next step.
Yeah, it's got to be all the things we've talked about with the goals. It's got to be specific, measurable, attainable, realistic.
Totally.
So is there a deadline? Is it small enough? If I'm going, if I haven't done any reading and I suddenly decide I'm going to read a book a week, it's not going to happen. Right? Yeah. The goal will the first step will defeat me. But if I say, can I read a page a day? Can I read 5 pages a day? I do 5 pages in a week, 1 page a day and set a week goal?
Yeah.
Whatever it is, keep making it smaller and smaller and smaller until you it's ridiculous that you don't do it.
Yeah, of course you're going to do it. And as you pointed out with the exercise in front of the TV, you'll probably do more because you've made it so easy. I'm thinking about, like the Dave Ramsey system, right? You start getting rid of your crippling, life-altering debt by working on the smallest debt balance first. And that's not smart. You know, you're supposed to do it from whatever's causing the most interest pain to you, you know, the biggest interest charge. Nope. Deal with the first thing that you can get rid of so you can check that box and go, hey, I can cut up that credit card. Wow. Let me try another one. Mm-hmm. I did that when I was trying to make the change about getting up early. You know, I knew that I needed this dedicated hour before my kids got up. And so, hey, the easy thing to do was set my alarm for 5 a.m. What's the worst that can happen? Turns out from the very first day, I was able to get out of bed at 5 a.m. and just say, yeah, I've got this hour. Here we go. Let's do it.
Oh, yeah. No, it's fantastic. And when you think about the Dave Ramsey example, it doesn't make financial sense. You've got a debt with a higher interest rate that's bigger, that's compounding. But what it takes into account is the emotional component.
Exactly.
Yeah. We know a whole bunch of logical things to do, but nothing we decide to do is based upon logic. It's all based upon emotion. Yep. So getting that quick win, that celebration, that release of serotonin and dopamine when I cut up the first credit card, that propels me to continue the change.
Yeah.
If I keep throwing money at this thing and it doesn't really look all that much different every month when I get a statement, it'd be very easy for my excitement to wane on that particular change. So a small first step, celebrate the heck out of that first step when it's accomplished.
Love that. And, you know, with the resistance to change, you know, this is great. We've built up all these things. We've uncovered all these visions and dissatisfactions and first steps. And now all of that's got to be greater than the resistance to change. I just want to say one thing, which is, what is the resistance? You know, it's healthy for you to spend some time saying, what is it that gets in the way of me doing this change? And you might have to ask, what else is getting in the way, and what else, and what's behind that? What's going on there? Spending some time sort of unpacking that and peeling off the layers of the onion. What you're trying to get to is naming it, whatever it is. You know, I just hate sweating, or I'm worried that I'll fail, or whatever it is that's that resistance to starting off on that change journey. You need to be able to name that, because if you can name it, you've got some authority over it. You have the ability to not be controlled by it, but instead to control it, manage it.
Oh, no, so well said. And if you think back to our episode on limiting beliefs, and so what are those things that you believe that kept you from moving forward? Right? That would be an element of resistance.
So good.
And if you think about first steps, you can think about our episode on creating good habits, and where we went into more depth on how do you start a habit, right? How do you create a habit and stick to it? So it's a simple formula, you know, D mm-hmm. times V times F is greater than R, but there's a lot of elements in there. So I think as a final encouragement, I would encourage people to do exactly what you're talking about. Is put the letter C right at the top of the paper and write what's the change you want to make, and detail it out. Put the discomfort, right? What's the pain or attraction that you have? Detail that out. What's the vision? How would it, if it worked out ultimately, how would it work out? And then what's that very first step you're going to take? And then, as you just asked everybody to do, right, let's go ahead and give voice to the resistance. What are the limiting beliefs I have, the things that are in my head that have kept me from doing this so far? Because there's a reason you haven't done it, and that's because resistance was greater than the product of the satisfaction, vision, and first steps.
I don't think you know this, but it's a great note to end on. I checked our statistics for our podcast downloads, the audio version, and even to this day, still one of our, it is the most popular episode, and it continues to be downloaded, is the episode on changing your habits. So it speaks to the volume of why this episode was something we wanted to do. And frankly, dear listeners, we would love to hear from you on how you implement this. Like what is the, frankly, this could be a part of your next steps, is to send Mike and Mark a little information about the thing that you're working on to change. So Mike at successamplified.com, mark@hipsocket.net. We'll put those in the show notes and the comments, as they say.
We have show notes?
I feel so professional, you know?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I'm impressed with ourselves.
I mean, I'm not wearing pants, but I feel very professional. I really do.
Right. And I'm so glad at no point you've stood up.
Thank you. You are welcome.
You're welcome.
You are welcome.
Well, let's see what our announcer has to say about us and see if he's just as gracious.
I doubt it.
And that's it. Join us next time when you'll hear Mike say, well, I'm sure he'll say something pithy. Don't miss it. Next time, it doesn't take a genius.
That's good enough.